Everybody loses sometimes. Some lose a lot. Only a Game's Gary Wallach has the story of an NFL team that has lost more straight games than any has lost before or since, and it wasn't as bad as you might think.
The Buccaneers had to find anyone and everyone they could find.
That's historian Jason Viewick. He's talking about the 1976 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, an expansion team, as they prepared for their inaugural season. The Buccaneers had reason for some optimism, having selected the highly regarded defensive end Leroy Selman with the number one pick in that year's draft. But how to fill out the rest of the roster?
They found one guy off the streets of Watts who'd been out of football for 3 years. Guys who were cut by the Canadian League were on the Buccaneers roster. They found guys from the defunct World Football League. I know for a fact that the Buccaneers actually tried out a Coca-Cola delivery man at one point.
Tampa Bay owner Hugh Culverhouse had made a fortune as a tax lawyer. But according to Viewick, much of his money was tied up in real estate, so he didn't have a lot to spend on players or on refreshments.
He had a Coke machine in the locker room, so there were no free drinks. You know, the great Leroy Selman would say, hey, you got a quarter in the middle of an interview because he wanted a Coke.
Culverhouse also refused to cover players' phone calls when they were at hotels during away games.
There were two roommates on the road. Someone made a 75-cent phone call, and he billed each roommate 38 cents. One time, a player separated his shoulder, and he couldn't get his arms up, so they cut his jersey off and billed him for the jersey.
The whole scene when you arrive in Tampa was not that good for so many reasons.
That's Dewey Selman, the brother of Leroy, the star defensive end who asked a reporter for a quarter.
I said, Leroy, are we sure we're supposed to be here? And there is this orange-colored little uniform. And I said, well, I don't know what to call it, but who is this swashbuckler on these helmets? And he was so cute looking.
The Bucs eventually did cobble together an NFL roster, and on August 21, 1976, at Tampa's first preseason game at their home stadium, Hugh Culverhouse, wearing what looked like a very inexpensive plaid polyester suit, expressed optimism.
May I say that we're here for one reason, and one reason only, and that's to bring the fans great professional football.
Veteran defensive end Pat Toomey, who'd won the Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys, was picked up in the 1976 expansion draft. He said it felt like being exiled to Siberia.
Pat Toomey, very early on, saw the train wreck that was developing. And he comes out of a film room one day with Larry Ball, a linebacker who had played on the perfect Miami Dolphins team. And Ball goes, what do you think? And Toomey says, 0-14.
The Bucs began their first season by racking up losses against Houston, San Diego, Buffalo, and Baltimore while being outscored 99-26. The defense, behind the Selman brothers, performed reasonably well, but the offense was inept. Bucs punter Dave Green was a busy man, and that brought him closer, literally and figuratively, to the fans in the wheelchair section near the end zone at Tampa Stadium.
I was having one of those games, and of course, when I was punting, it was always 4th and 80. Every time I went in, I was always on that end line. I mean, we were just always so backed up. I heard one of the guys in the wheelchair yell out at me. He says, Green, if you shank this one, I'm jumping out of this chair and kicking your ass. And I'm starting to go. But it kind of woke me up. I'm going, here's a guy in a wheelchair, and he's got a better attitude than I got.
The Bucs dropped their next four games to Cincinnati, the previously winless Seattle Seahawks, Miami, and Kansas City. The losing began to wear on Dave Green and Dewey Selman.
After you lose 8 straight games, well, at that point, you're hurting inside pretty bad. Coaches, players, the fans. But then you kind of grow up. You say, well, we can't beat ourselves up after every loss because we're going to lose a few more. You start reading between the lines. You say, we're not very good.
You didn't like losing. You hated it. I remember one morning, getting up Monday morning, and it was a bad game. I wanted to get up that morning and run through the neighborhood and pick up all the newspapers. I knew the press was going to be all over us.
The 76 season, Lear and I did not go into restaurants and sit down to eat. We always went through the drive-thru. He said, let's not go in there and take all them questions. Let's hit our drive-thru and head home.
Jason Viewick says all across the country, people noticed the struggles of the Bucs.
And there was something farcical about it, like the 62 Mets. And there were signs in the 10-yard line. This guy would hold up a sign every game that said, "The Bucks stop here." People wore bags on their heads. And Johnny Carson would make a joke, and it would be in newspapers and in, you know, it'd be water cooler talk in the morning. And other comedians followed, other TV shows followed. Chuck Barron's on the Gong Show. He would give Buccaneer tickets to the losers. And it became a national punchline.
Some of those jokes, even I would completely crack up and I'd say, "Catherine," to my wife, "did you hear that? Buccaneers play Sensenite like luggage and we lost." I said, "That's pretty good." Before the last game that season, everybody, for that game, everybody drove up in their U-Hauls. Everything's already packed up. And as soon as that game's over, we're hitting the road, getting out of there, and we needed to get out and take a break. We just wanted to get out of Dodge.
Pat Toomey's prediction had come true, 0-14. But Dewey Selman and many of his 1976 teammates returned after a long offseason with a new mindset, sort of.
Hey, we're a few players away from winning one game. We're okay. We're not good at all, but we're okay.
In fact, the 1977 Bucks were bad. And Dave Green says that means Tampa Bay now had a new challenge.
Nobody wanted to get beat by us. And they were putting a little extra effort in there. I mean, they were doing everything they can because nobody wanted to be that first team to get beat by us.
The Bucks lost 12 straight, and there were predictions of back-to-back winless seasons.
Locked. It was intercepted for a touchdown. Glenn Robinson, number 64, on the block. The ball is in the air, and there is Mr. Johnson to pull it down.
But on December 11th, 1977, the Bucks accomplished the almost unimaginable. They won. They beat the Saints 33-14 in New Orleans. Again, Dewey Selman.
It was crazy. We didn't know how to act. You know, you lost 26 straight games, so you're used to walking into a room and put your helmet up and let's see what's in the lunchbox. And for once, we had a reason to walk into there, and we're going to be celebrating and happy. And it was a big contrast of emotions for us. It made our season.
Jack Harris was the Bucks' pregame and halftime television host.
The wildest thing was the flight home from New Orleans. We started partying right after the game, and it's the only time I've ever seen a plane land where nobody was sitting down. And the pilot kept saying, "Please, you'll have to take your seats and fasten your seat belts before we can land a plane." There are people dancing in the aisles, and we were just saying, "Well, don't land. We don't care."
Jason Viewick says the Bucks party went on and on.
They arrived at Tampa International Airport, and there were 8,000 fans who then reassembled at One Buck Place for a party into the wee hours of the night. They opened the ticket window. Culver House was smart. They opened the ticket window at midnight, and people were lined up. And the next game, almost 50,000 fans came to Tampa Stadium, the last game of the season, and the Bucks just beat the tar out of the Cardinals. And the fans ran out on the field after the game and tore down the goalposts. A 2-26 team just beat a mediocre team that didn't make the playoffs, and the fans tore down the goalposts. They were that thrilled with the victory.
Dave Green retired in 1978 before the team's first winning season. Too early? Maybe not.
You kind of hate to be linked with, you know, one of the worst football teams in history, but at the same time, if it didn't happen, we wouldn't be talking about anything. We're not proud of it, but it kind of keeps us out there.
Dewey Selman likes talking about those years too, but for different reasons. He came to the Bucks after two championship seasons with the University of Oklahoma.
Someone asked me, "Dude, would you ever want to endure those 2 years of Tampa losing again?" I say, "Well, if I had a choice, I would keep those two losing years and give up two of my winning years at OU. Because during the losing years, I learned so much. I grew so much as a person and as a player in my personal faith, how I look upon other people. You start thinking about your fellow person, your fellow teammate." So I would never trade those 2 years away. Those 2 years are going to be mine forever.
For Only a Game, I'm Gary Wallach.
You can learn more about the 1976-77 Tampa Bay Buccaneers by reading Jason Vuick's new book, The Yucks, 2 years in Tampa with the losingest team in NFL history.